Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It happened across the Arab world. It happened in London. Could it happen here?
Once the people start waking up, once the cops realize that they're getting fired, that they're getting their pensions taken away, that they're going to lose all their royalties, their overtime and detail pay, once they wake up, and they'll be on our side too, just like what happened in Egypt with the army.
That was Nelson Terry, a college student from Massachusetts, who joined the Occupy Wall Street protest in New York over the weekend. The group has been protesting for over a week now, mostly in Lower Manhattan. And as you've been hearing, over the weekend, the peaceful protest took a more confrontational turn. About 80 people were arrested, and the police used pepper spray at least once against a few female protesters. You might have seen the video footage, which has been making the rounds. So what exactly are they protesting? What do they want? And is there any chance these protests will change anything? And what about the actions of the police? Jonathan Tessini joins us now. He's the labor activist and president of the Economic Future Group. Also joining us is WNYC reporter Arun Venugopal, who was out at yesterday's protest. Hi, Arun. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi,
hey.
Brian.
Good morning, Brian.
Jonathan, you joined the protesters over the weekend. Who is protesting, and what do you want?
Well, most of what I think is exciting about this is it's younger people. And when I say younger, we're all young, but these are mostly, I think, people who are south of 30 and, you know, mixed in with some other veterans. But it doesn't have necessarily an organizational leadership in the sense of organizations we're used to. But I think the main demand is what I think most people around the country want. They want some accountability on the part of Wall Street. They want Wall Street to be held accountable for the financial disaster. And I think a lot of people there are frustrated that the government is not doing that, neither the administration in Washington, the people here in this state. The people who created the financial crisis not only are not in jail, they're still running the same companies.
Listeners, we can talk both about what happened over the weekend and the confrontation between protesters and police, or talk about the larger issues. So if you have joined any of these protests, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. Occupy Wall Streeters, welcome at 212-433-9692 or on our webpage at WNYC.org or our social media. Or are you watching this from afar? What are you thinking to yourself as you see the coverage on television or wherever? Do you agree with the sentiment but think the tactics are off? What do you think of the police? 212-433-WNYC. Any other thoughts on the protest? Welcome. 212-433-9692 or post it to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Arun, the police used some force over the weekend, as has been well documented. Mm-hmm. They used pepper spray at least once. They used nets to control where protesters went at certain points. And the protesters and the police dispute at least what led to the pepper spray incident. Police say it was warranted to keep the peace. Protesters say nobody was being violent. What did you see when you were there on Sunday, and what can you actually tell from the evidence?
Right. I was there on Sunday. The actual protests happened on Saturday. So I've been speaking to people. I've been looking at the video. My sense is that the people who were actually in the protests when the police started really kind of cracking down, they were not really expecting this to happen. I don't think they were really angling for a showdown. The language you hear from the protesters is fairly civil. They're not really trying to, you know, follow in the footsteps of the Seattle protesters and people, the anti-globalization types who are really willing to, you know, crack some windows and really butt heads. They speak of the police in a sense as sort of like their compatriots in this larger struggle. And as far as the people on Saturday, I think that really they started panicking. They started getting really scared. They were being kenneled in, is the phrase they use, being the orange nets were coming around, and they were probably not following instructions, and some of them just didn't hear instructions, and then things really kind of got crazy.
Jonathan, do you think the message from this group is as clear as the way you laid it out a minute ago, having to do with accountability and Wall Street? You know, I remember even back to the beginning of the Iraq War protests that people who were for the protests were a little unhappy that the messages were all over the place. You know, it was supposed to be to stop the war from beginning, and there was end racism, and there was a living wage, and all this stuff. And if you look at the picture on our website right now, it's four granny protesters with four different messages on their shirts, from healthcare to jobs to peace. So does this movement have a focus, or is it those with anger at large that we've seen so many times in the past?
Let me answer that. Let me quickly say something that Arun brought up. I think that part of what happened on Saturday was, in fact, that people just have not had experience doing this. There were a lot of, you know, again, younger people, and I say that, you know, South 30, who just had never been in that situation. I think that's one reason that things may have gotten a little more out of hand, in addition to, I think, the police probably overreacted in response. But to answer your question, Brian, I think that you're right. There are different messages there, but I think, first of all, they've chosen a spot that has very clear meaning. It's right there at the center, the financial center in Wall Street. And so I do think that that message is getting across. It is complicated partly by not having organizational experience. And so there's not necessarily clear spokespeople. There's not an organization that makes decisions that this is our one message. But I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I think the Wall Street financial collapse is a filter and a focus for general despair in this country, people not having gotten wage increases, the attacks against unions, and a whole list of other grievances. People do see Wall Street as responsible for that. And frankly, I think given that the progressive movement, in my opinion, has been essentially paralyzed, and I think has not responded in the activist way in the streets that should be, I think that the fact that there is activity in the street, there is something going on, is a good thing.
Charles in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Charles. You were there on Saturday? Whoops. Can we get Charles up there? There we go. Sorry, Charles. Now we have you. You're on the air.
I was there last weekend with some other labor folks. And one of the things we noticed was the real absence of support from unions and some of the community organizing groups that are better known in New York City. And we're just sort of talking amongst ourselves, you know, what could overcome this problem where it looks like there's one demographic out there protesting. A lot of other groups that have common concerns that aren't really turning out their own troops to join mm-hmm. them.
Interesting. Charles, thank you. And Jonathan, as a veteran labor activist, do you think he's onto something?
Mark, in 2008, when the market was collapsing 700 points a day, I personally picked up the phone and tried to call I called the union leadership around the city and the state, said, we have to mobilize. You could have gotten 100,000 people in the street, that not just union members, but the people whose retirements were disappearing literally by the minute, and the labor movement was paralyzed and could not act. And I think the sign of these folks being in the street today is also a sign of the failure of the labor movement and what people define as the progressive leadership. They'd rather sit in conferences and think about writing another policy paper when what people have to do is in some way risk institutions and go out into the streets and support the people who are out there who somewhat don't have that organizational experience.
And Arun, what do you know about this group, Occupy Wall Street? And is it the only group represented?
Well, it's actually, I think it's just there is a coalition of various groups that have kind of come together for this. They're trying to, I think, sort of at least at these meetings that they have in Zuccotti Park, right there next to Ground Zero, try to make this, I guess, get rid of any organizational baggage that could sort of intrude on the creation of something new. They want something that is not really associated with established activist movements.
So maybe they don't even want the old labor movements. Charles is complaining that they weren't there.
Actually, no, that is something they are definitely courting. That's something that came up at this meeting yesterday. We want people to come with us to that protest that union is having uptown and start recruiting and networking. They use that word, so they definitely want that solidarity and they want the numbers.
I want to play a clip of the writer Suketu Mehta on our show. This is from February 11th, which, as Egyptians listening right now will well know, that was the day Mubarak stepped down. And here is what Suketu Mehta, originally from Mumbai, long a New Yorker now, had to say on that historic day.
I wait for the Twitter and Facebook messages summoning a million people to Times Square. And Mona, pass your baton on to us.
Speaking to the Egyptian activist in the House, Mona. So, we've had several conversations on this show, Jonathan Tessini, about why we're not experiencing mass protests in this country, if in Egypt and throughout the Arab world, as much over economics as democracy, and maybe in a way closer to home, what happened in London, what's happening in Greece as they impose their austerity measures, even though it's, you know, more serious than what's going on here in terms of government austerity. So why do you think that this is the beginning of that, or would that be overstating and getting way ahead of ourselves?
I guess you'll have to ask me that in 5 years when we have the program and look back and say, wow, it was the beginning. You know, I'll say quickly a few things. One is we're not Egypt. We don't live under military dictatorship as of yet. The depth of crisis, the unemployment, the feeling amongst the young that they have no choice is not as deep as it was in Egypt. I think 50% of the young people in Egypt were out of work. But I do think things are changing here where people are trying to figure out what to do. It is still true that we've lived so well for so many years that people can still shop at Walmart, which people think is some outlet for that. But I do think that the crisis is reaching very, very serious proportions. Is if you look at the unemployment, people feeling that they have no future. And I do think something could happen. I don't honestly know. It's hard to look at now what might be the spark for that, but it's definitely, if you just look at the basic economic facts of how many people can't find work, 1 in 5 people don't have good full-time paying work, there's a lot of desperation out there.
Michael in West Caldwell, you're on WNYC. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for taking my call. I was in Zuccotti Park, not this past weekend, but the previous one, when the protest just began, and what struck me was that even then, when the numbers of protesters were relatively small, there was just a massive display of force put on by the police officers, force meaning visible force. There were rows and rows of them. They were all donning these big packs of plastic handcuffs. They were being dismissive with protesters. And so the question that raised in my mind was, who is giving this order to the officers that they must go out in such full force there?
Arun, can you answer that question for him?
I can't. I don't know. I don't know who's giving those orders.
Or why? What do you think the NYPD would say? By showing so much blue that they intimidate and help prevent, you know, those small elements from the crowd that might be engaging in anarchic violence?
Well, I mean, certainly they are consistent to some degree in terms of wanting to make sure that these groups that are going along the sidewalks, that they don't suddenly become, you know, this flash mob that overwhelms traffic, that kind of thing. At Zuccotti Park, they're contained. They're relatively the police are not really interfering too much with the life, the sort of commune that's sort of been created here. And yet on the marches, they definitely have been, I think, sort of, I guess, getting a little out of hand.
And you wanted to say something else?
Well, I mean, I think that what's interesting at this moment, what we're looking at is, I think that the protesters are entering sort of their honeymoon phase, because there's a sense amongst them that something is happening. There are other cities in which these protests are happening. I think L.A. and Chicago is what I hear is where they're getting the most traction, but maybe 15 to 20 other cities, maybe of much smaller size.
So Occupy Wall Street is not only happening on Wall Street.
These are solidarity protests. This is sort of much. This is obviously much larger happening here in New York, but people in other cities are creating their own demonstrations. And people who are studying this here in New York are going back to cities like Boston and creating splinter, or rather sister sort of protests. Also, the fact is, I mean, they haven't really raised much money. I think an organizer told me yesterday, all these days they've raised about $20,000 in cash. They need to feed their people and take care of them. At the same time, it's not like they have a message tying them down yet. So there's a lot of excitement, and yet it hasn't been really shaped into something that could be alienating.
They need to have a $1,000 a plate fundraiser like Obama and the Republicans. Jonathan, we have 30 seconds left. Do you see any politicians who will actually champion these goals?
No, I don't think so, because they're only worried about their reelection and about raising money from Wall Street donors. But I do think that rather than we shouldn't say think so much about whether Wall Street, this particular protest will be successful, quote unquote, right away. But they're establishing relationships and ties to people all across the city and the state.
And sure enough, our next guests are going to be from Washington, and we're going to ask them, among other things, do these protests have resonance there yet? Are politicians of either party starting to get worried about people rising up in the context of this cause. Jonathan Tessini, labor activist, president of the Economic Future Group, and WNYC reporter Arun Venugopal, who's been covering the protests. Thank you both.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We'll talk to those Washington reporters, Jackie Combs and Karen Tumulty, in a minute.